Today's message is titled, Persevering in the Lifelong Pilgrimage. Because this three times a year was in a way the symbolic pilgrimage, we as a Christians, we might not travel to Jerusalem, but our pilgrimage, spiritual pilgrimage, is toward God. And it is lifelong, and it's just 1 week long. And then the focus is about perseverance. Let's read today's psalm first. Psalm 129. Greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, greatly have they afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous. He has cut the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like grass, the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves is in his arms. Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. This is the word of God. As I mentioned, first glance, what is this psalm about? And the first verse begins with repetition. Greatly have they afflicted me in my youth. And this is some seems like a choir leader or a person who is leading the response for the rest of the family journey also too. So in my youth, afflicted me is not necessarily a personal thing, but it's a communal, the people of God as Israel. And then now let all Israel say, in other words, repeat after me the same thing. Are they being sorry for their pain, suffering? And it's not in my youth, it's from my youth. No, this psalm is about the reality of their life. And frankly, I think this is the reality of Christian life we need to face up to. The common mistakes that we make in this culture of comfort breeds in us to have a thin skin and thick heart. By thick heart, I mean dull heart. Thin skin, you know, obviously, thin skin, you get touched by, you get affected by so many things. But then in your heart, it's actually, thick heart is dull. It's not tender, it's not responsive, it's not sensitive. And this is actually an aptitude for flimsiness. One of the common misconceptions about Christian life, even when we were trying to encourage our unbelieving friends and family to come to Christ, we would sometimes use these things. I know you have a lot of problems in your life. I did too. But I received Christ and all my problems and sorrows are gone. Is it true? No. In reality, sometimes when you become Christian, you have more troubles, more suffering. Why? Because as an unbeliever, you could compromise your standard to get along well with your life. But as Christ becomes our Lord, there are things that we need to say, this is what my Lord wants me, that I'll stand the ground. I will not compromise. I will not go along with my boss' desire for me to lie about our company. Oh, you're going to get in trouble. But once again, so for some reason, the Western peaceful Christianity is expecting life to be easy, including us, preferring comfort over challenge, dodging deeper, serious issues of heart. I know many of you parents, immigrant history, especially like even my parents, went through the time was darkness of Japanese rule in Korea, and in Korean War, and they have seen death in front of them, and they have seen persecution of the church themselves. For some reason, their life seems to be more stronger than flimsiness, especially as a Christian. The church that my mom and my grandma used to go, I was born in that church in Seoul, Korea. The whole church was fled from communism to Seoul, Korea. And the pastor of Yongnak Church that back then was known for the leader of these persecuted people. But I remember, even as a child growing up, there was a sense of resilience, joy. When peace like a river attendeth my soul. Or when sorrow billows my life, it rocks my life. In both ends, it is well with my soul. Those songs, the hymns, became really true confession of these people. And it ought to be ours as well. So as we reflect on this psalm, remember this. What is required for the lifelong pilgrimage is actually the other around. Thick skin and thin heart. Thick skin meaning we are not, you know, rough edges of life. Not only being easily offended and, you know, just agitated, but about every little thing becomes a crisis. No? But and yet, beyond the thickness of our skin, there's a thin, meaning tender, sensitive heart toward Christ, toward the Holy Spirit, toward the needy, toward people who are hurting. It is an aptitude for perseverance. Let's do asking questions of why, reality check. There are three at least. Reality check number one, God is good, but life is hard. Once again, misconception among the Christians is life is good. No, life is not good at times. Life sucks at times, to be honest. God is good, even when life is horrible. Reality check number two is life is a spiritual warfare. We are not left alone, especially those who want to serve the Lord, please the Lord, the evil one in his army wants us to quit and surrender life to his rule. Reality number, check number three, but God calls us to endure hardship for Christ's cause. I recently just wrote, glanced over this devotion. When Christians, believers are going through a tough time, but we endure well, this is pleasing to the Lord. It's so much easier to grumble, to be grumpy, and to be negative, to complain. But this psalm is saying, look at the reality of life and actually look at the results of your faith, our faith. So let's ask this question. What does it require for us to cultivate perseverance in the lifelong pilgrimage? Here's number one. It requires us to take on, or I would like to say embrace also, to spiritual mental toughness in our faith and attitude. The reason why this psalmist is being a choir leader, asking the rest of the congregation, asking rest of the Israel, people of God, to repeat is, yet they have not prevailed against me. It is true. If you look at history of Israel, starting with the birth of nation, it was, remember, Joseph, because of God used him, and the 12 tribes of Jacob, and Jacob who became, changed the name to, by God, to Israel, came to Egypt. But 430 years of captivity, they were driven as a slaves. Hosea 11 verse 1 said, when Israel was young, I loved them, and I called them out of Egypt. In other words, let my people go. I will deliver you from this bondage. After deliverance from Egypt, in the land of promised land in Canaan, Philistine was continually persecuting them. Later, the greater world power, Assyria, was overtaken northern Israel. And Babylon took over the world power later, and the southern kingdom, Judah, was taken to 70 years of captivity in Babylon. This psalm was written, and most scholars will say, after the exile, after they came back. And looking at the bare land, and they have to start all over again, the psalmist is reminding, greatly they have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Sing with me, he says. It's hard for us to accept this. But the reality of life, we're going to face difficult things. And I know even in our church community, there are a couple of families who are still going through very difficult time because their aging parents are going through such a difficult health issues, including mine. But if we expect the life to be easy, the Jesus to carry me, and there is no storms, and there is no like strong wind and thunderstorms, and an only sunny, bright light, that our life will be carried. And if this is Christian life, we're going to be disappointed. We're not going to last long. We're not going to make it. The perseverance will not happen. And I thought about this too. One of the biggest mistakes, well-meaning parents' mistakes, is overprotection, isn't it? Oh, we don't want our children to be hurt, so we overprotect. And that child, when they're growing up, teenager and young adulthood, is not ready to face the harsh reality of the world. We're not gonna able to protect him, protect her in every single situation. God, as our Father, He's a loving Father. But His love is not flimsy love. He gives us loving discipline, going through a lot of difficult times. Actually, we become not only mature, but strengthen our faith. In 2 weeks, my second son, Silas, will be going to Korea for 1 year. This is his desire. Cultural awakening happened. Past few years, he wanted to learn and explore the culture of Korea. So how is he going to do that? He needs to make money, right? So he went through this very severely difficult process of interviewing. So he got hired by Korean government, and they give them orientation starting in 2 weeks, and he's going to be given furnished apartment for free, and he's going to be teaching English for 1 year. His real reason, an explorer, I am scared for him because he doesn't speak Korean at all. I'm hoping that he could learn, but how is he going to get around? Like in weekdays, he might be, in that school setting, but Saturday and Sunday, he ought to explore, travel. How is he going to travel? Is he going to be able to even get a bus, right bus, and where to go? Reflecting to some, I am thankful. Because my son greatly, will you have affliction in next coming 1 year. But God will be with you. You will be stretched in a way that you could never learn it in a classroom setting. And you're going to grow leaps and bounds. So I am excited for my son. And those of us who took risks, went to mission trips, and then, especially very third world country, very remote areas, and the bathrooms are not, westernized, and then everything is just difficult, and they, unlike people, foreigners here trying to speak English to us, they don't give a rip. So if you cannot communicate, you need to somehow get around. And I remember that first time I was traveling through that, and I was terrified. What if I'm lost? My team members are not around me. I can't speak word of Chinese. It begins with embracing that spiritual mental toughness in our faith and attitude. Number two, or no, before we go into number two, this is not just the Old Testament concept. And do you remember Apostle Paul's confession in 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 10? Listen to what he says. We are afflicted in every way. We, meaning Apostle Paul and his teammates, whoever traveled along with him for the sake of gospel. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. This is a result of persevering faith that we ought to emulate as well. Number two thing we need in cultivating perseverance in our lifelong pilgrimage is this. We ought to look to God who is righteous and faithful. Verse 3 is the language of a farmer. The plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. When slave masters use the stripes and driven the slaves and hit them, there's a long furrow. In farming, it's breaking the soil, right? But in what they're saying is because of the scars or teeth in their back. Verse 4 gives us hope in the midst of anything. Lest we think that we need to be tough guy and tough woman to survive through this. Who needs a determination like a steel? And the psalmist is reminding, the Lord is righteous. He has caught the course of the wicked. It's the Lord who persevering you. So even the doctrine of perseverance of saints is actually persevering God's hand on us. When you're climbing and when you're a little kid and upon the rocks and you know the terrain, the course, the hike is very difficult. And the rocks are slippery. Then your dad, when you're little, just imagine this. Hold on tight. Daddy will hold you. Hold on tight. Do you know that little child, age of 4, 5, or 6, sometimes can let go. But it is the grip of the strong Father's grip on us that He will not let go. He is good. He is righteous. Even at the moment that we are feeling like we're falling apart, the Lord caught the course of our affliction. So maybe some of you, our family is going through kind of little crisis right now. We were notified by landlord. We have a couple of months to move out. We don't even know where to go now. But in the middle of it, in the middle of the anxious thoughts, I can remember the Lord Jesus who's at the center of my life for my current pilgrimage, but unknown the future of pilgrimage. That becomes the source of my first persevering strength. Are you going through a tough time? Is your life, is your family have an issue that is not going away? Look to God. He is righteous. He is faithful. Over the years, Israel's have a record of God's faithfulness. All of us, even at Crossway, we have God's fingerprints of His faithfulness, that He keeps His covenant, promises, and delivers His people by His grace, not by our merit. So let's remember this tension, lest we think that it's one way or the other, right? So I need to make it in this life, in this, you know, in this world. I'm all by myself. I need to trust no one, nothing, but I need to have a determination of winner. And I need to make it through. You're not going to make it. Some trials will be bigger. It will overwhelm us. The promise is that God is there. Even though I walk through the shadow of valley, you are with me. So I will not fear. The tension is, if God is sovereign, that means I don't have to do anything. No, God's sovereignty doesn't eliminate our human responsibility of trust and obedience. And the strange thing is, we give all our effort to cling to God, and that we thought that we made it through, but then looking back, it was gone. Without God, I could not have made it. So let's remember this lesson, that the deliverance is not from people, not from politics or politicians, or power, but from the Lord Himself. Proverbs 11:21 reminds us God's unchanging character. Be assured, an evil person will not go unpunished, but the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Life, sometimes it is just utterly unfair. And the people who took advantage of us, the people who got into car accident with us, and, you know, it was clearly their fault, but somehow the insurance becomes fuzzy, And they're getting away with this. That we need to remember. An evil person will not go unpunished. The Lord will deliver the offspring of righteous. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 and 13. Remember Jesus Christ, Paul writes, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And third and last thing, that this point is bring up all, like consolidating all things. It's such an important point. It requires us to be authentic and confident in God. Verses 5 through 8 is a prayer. This is commonly known as imprecatory prayer. Imprecation means asking God's curse upon them. I will explain, but for now, let's read first. May all we who hate Zion. Zion, the word Zion is not the place, local place of Jerusalem only. Because we could basically Zion imply the city of God, where God dwells. You know, in other words, may who all hate God's kingdom, God's people, be to shame and turn backwards. Let them be like grass on the housetop, which withers before it grows up. On the grass, on the top of the house, the root is so short and the sun is so hot, it withers away right away. And verse 7, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor the binder of sheaves his arm, nor do all those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Looking at verse 8, we also remember, it kind of implies, not just the Gentiles, Assyrians and Babylonians and Philistines are called as enemies of God who hate Zion, but the even Israelites. This is common greeting among the Israelites. The Lord bless you in the name of the Lord, blessing of the Lord be upon you. In other words, let those who pass by don't say that. So we know that this is not so much of ethnic Israel. We're talking about people of God, even among the ethnic Israel, which includes us as the people of God. Christians will go through persecution in 20th century. Compared to any other century, there was a martyrdom. So many Christians die. And even in Middle East now, in China, especially in North Korea, the persecution is still going on severe. So what do we make of this? Imprecatory prayer. A few things. Does this mean we could pray against God's cursing, against all our enemies, whatever we feel like it? No. The one notion that it has to be clear, this is not just enemies, our enemies, the people we don't get along with or don't like, but this is those people who go against enmity against God. In other words, God's enemy. And the second thing, in the New Testament brings another light of this between the tension. This is the Old Testament is not changed and this is not relevant. Not at all. It is continuously still relevant. But we are to treat our enemies and even those people who are going against God, that we would pray for them. We would continually become like Christ to them. In our application today, when you read this imprecatory prayer, it is display of two things. Sure transparency, honesty, authenticity in our prayer to God. We could be honest. We could be authentic to God. God, this is just driving me up the wall. In some sense, so this is really comforting for us to really be honest before we even use a lot of Christianese in our prayer. But also, hugely important, this is the result of confidence in God, trusting in God, will bring up our confidence in our faithful God. Lord, this what is coming up, what is in front of me is too much for me, too much for our family. It's discouraging, Lord. But in light of the fact that the Lord is righteous and you have cut the cords and I can face this harsh reality of life, including spiritual warfare, my enemy, the evil one, with confidence. There is a reason why, and Eugene Peterson's writing on this is so helpful. Hear this. Peterson writes, the central reality of for Christians is the personal, unalterable, persevering commitment God makes to us. Perseverance is not the result of our determination. It is the result of God's faithfulness. We survive in the way of faith, not because we have extraordinary stamina, but because God is righteous, because God sticks with us. Christian discipleship is a process of paying more and more attention to God's righteousness and less attention to our own, finding the meaning of our lives not by probing our moods and motives and morals, but by believing in God's will and purposes, making a map of the faithfulness of God, not charting the rise and fall of our enthusiasm. It is out of such reality that we acquire perseverance. Amen to that. So let's reap the harvest of what we've been meditating on. This psalm is not calling for your strong self-will and determination. And to be a tough person, you will end up becoming thick skin and thick heart person who doesn't respond to any kind of sensitivity at all. Nor is it that we become wishful that we're having a thin skin that the Lord will take care of everything for us. The people will see me and my good intention and they'll be nice to me. No. Some people will be horribly rude to us, especially because of our faith. But if God sticks with me and He perseveres me, you know what I thought of? I'll share about my brother in a couple of weeks. He's another, incredibly, the sixth book is coming out in his health. But I thought about Missionary Lee in Yucatan, whom those people in Yucatan call him dearly Don Carlos, out of respect. Do you know he's 78 now? Last year it was hard for him for us to get a hold of him. You know, we find out later that he went to Korea to get treatment for his speech impediment and acupuncture. And then he was trying to walk without the walker, but his hip was hard. He was about to go back to Yucatan and find out within 2 weeks of that period, he had a cancer. So he went through 6 weeks of chemo. A few months ago, I caught up with him, expecting that he's downcast and going through a difficult time. He's praising the Lord. When are you going to come? When are you going to bring Crossway people to Yucatan? And I said, aren't you 78 and concerned about? Yes, but somehow God sustained me. I'm more joyful, more stronger when I got here. I think this is where I belong, Yucatan. His joy is genuine, I could say. And that's the sign of persevering God in Him. May the Lord strengthen us with the perspective of persevering God for each of His children. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank You for this psalm that we do feel like so many times that we feel the afflictions in our lives, in our family, and even in our church. Teach us to have a persevering faith in You. May we experience God who is greater than our problem, our affliction. May our joy be evidence of persevering God within us. And I pray, especially for those of us, those people in this room who has a heavy heart, that You will deal with their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.